Hello and welcome back to Food Friday on Vox Pop. Another great show lined up for you this afternoon. Did you know we're halfway to Oktoberfest? I must confess, I did not know that. Katie Britton, who is our expert on such things, informed me that we're halfway. So, we thought this is a great time to celebrate the tantalizing dishes and beers that originate from Germany. You ask your questions about German food or beer, give us a call, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Our plates are already full of food from Blackhead Mountain Lodge and Country Club, and our cups are about to overflow with beer from Druthers. So let's meet our guest today. Ed Mossman is the part of a three-generation family business at Blackhead Mountain Lodge and Country Club in Round Top, New York, located in the heart of the Catskill Mountains. Not only does he make a killer spetzel and other authentic German dishes, he's also the lodge's golf course superintendent. Ed, nice to have you here. Thanks for bringing all this food.
Oh, it's great to be here today. Really appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, this is exciting. This is very exciting for a man of German, heritage. We also have the other half of our Oktoberfest represented today. Our friend George DePiro is back. He is the co-owner and chief brewing officer at Druthers in Saratoga Springs, New York. George is it Goza?
Goza.
Goza won a gold award in the 2014 World Beer Cup in the German-style sour ale category. We have some of that, some Pilsner, and some other good stuff today. George, always great to have you here.
Nice to be here. Thanks.
The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. If you have any questions or favorite dishes or German beers you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-348-2551. You can also comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, Facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop, or you can post your comments at the bottom of today's show page on our website, WAMC.org/Vox Pop. You can even email us, VoxPop@WAMC.org. But we love your calls, 1-800-348-2551. Let's start with the food. Ed Mossman, what did you bring?
Hey, I brought us up. We're going to start with a little fresh potato pancakes, which we make daily in our restaurant, fresh to order. Great appetizers. One of our biggest selling appetizers.
Okay, and we're holding it up for the camera at WAMC.org. We have a live video stream as well.
Yep, and then after we're done with that, then we're going to start off with our main course. One of our traditional meals at Mossman's restaurant from recipes that started with my grandmother in our business. We're going to go with an authentic sauerbraten. Then we have some Jägerschnitzel that we're going to sample.
Nice.
And that's getting accompanied by red cabbage. And our homemade spetzel, which we make daily in our fresh in our house every day.
I got to say, this plate full of food, it just brings back memories of my grandmother all those years ago, especially the cabbage. That was a common thing in the German the cooks of the German style would put that out often. Our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall, also with us. She serves as... Uh-oh. And our vice president came in.
Going?
Oh, hi, Pat. You're going to have some German food with us?
Oh, I'd love to.
All right. Our vice president is here. And Jessica Blaustein Marshall serves as a serving agent and a food taster for the program. We'd love to hear from you at 1-800-348-2551. George, what beer do you think would go with the potato pancakes?
I'd venture that any of the three I brought would go with them, but I think we'll try the Hefeweizen first, because I think that might be the best one.
Explain this style of beer.
Hefeweizen is that literally means yeast wheat. Hefe means yeast, Weizen means wheat.
Mm-hmm.
It's a German-style wheat beer. It's made from at least 50% wheat malt. Mine is made from over 60% wheat malt. But what really makes it special is the yeast that's used. The ale yeast that's used to make this beer makes the same chemicals during fermentation that are found in cloves and bananas.
Really?
Really. So the beer will taste like cloves and bananas purely because the yeast made those chemicals. There are no cloves or bananas in the beer.
Amazing. So when you say this beer has a... You can smell the banana. There's none in it.
There's none in it.
The German purity law would prohibit that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Ganz genau.
These potato pancakes look amazing, by the way. What's the secret, Ed, to making a real good potato pancake?
Starting off with some good fresh ingredients and a nice hot griddle and a good touch, a good homemade hand touch.
Was Grandma good at this?
Grandma was excellent. She started in our kitchen quite a long time ago, back in 1967 when we bought the establishment, Black Hand Mountain Lodge and Country Club. And when she retired out of the kitchen, my dad went in. He tweaked a few of the recipes himself. And since that time, I've kind of taken over a little bit in the kitchen. I also have a great culinary chef that works with me in the kitchen, kind of bringing an international cuisine to the restaurant as well.
Well, I mean, these have a crispy edge, and they're tender. Yeah. And so onions in this, and potatoes, and what else?
Yeah, we make that with some potatoes, some light seasoning, salt, pepper, a little German ingredient that I've got sitting on our shelf, kind of a little secret.
Oh, you won't tell us.
A little bit of onion.
All right.
Yeah, I got to come down and have them.
I'll tell you what, this is amazing.
And then they got to be cooked on a nice hot griddle.
I have to say, the first time I've ever had potato pancakes like this, I was at a German restaurant, and they called them Kartoffelpuffer mit Apfelmus. And
yep.
I'm probably
that's easy for you to
butchering
say.
The German.
No, it's very good.
It stuck in my head, and I've loved them ever since.
All right, let's try the beer here. Now, this is the Hefeweizen from Druthers. German beer and German food.
Nothing better in life.
I got a text from my wife saying, I believe I'm starting to hate you, when I told her what I was eating and drinking this afternoon. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. The applesauce is homemade?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is. This is a fantastic potato pancake. I can't wait till we get a call here so I can eat more. And then we have sauerbraten, we have red cabbage and spätzle. Now, when my grandmother made the specials, they were bigger. These are rather thin.
Yeah, we make them through a press machine because we make so much daily. A lot of times at home, a lot of women or cooks will make it right off a cutting board, and that's why they get thick and you change the style.
Yeah.
But like I said, we make ours, so we make so much of it every day that we have basically a press, and we push it through there. It comes out looking more like an oversized pasta noodle, but the flavor is exactly the same.
You know, we talked a little bit about some of the old recipes that I remember as a kid, and they didn't ring a bell with you. And you talked about one town to the next in Germany would have a complete different description, if not a recipe.
A different recipe, yep. And it's kind of amazing. My in-laws from a different part of Germany, when we speak German together, I can't quite understand them because the dialect and the ethnic culture is so different from town to town.
Truly amazing. Truly amazing. And the beer, George, is excellent and very
Thank
cold.
You.
Let's go to the phones. Keith in Queensbury, you're up. Keith.
Hi. I was just going to mention I used to go to Hamburg on occasion, and there was a dessert that they served. It was evidently kind of regional for that area, and it was made out of a variety of red berries and typically served with heavy cream called Rote Brütze.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if that's kind of a typical German thing or if you serve it in your restaurant or anything.
No, we don't serve that in our restaurant. From your end of the, from where your family comes from and stuff and where you visited, it's basically southern Germany. We're a northern Germany family, kind of more of the meat and potato end of Germany. Our prime thing, our biggest seller in our restaurant for dessert is an apple strudel, which we make fresh all the time.
You didn't bring it, did you?
Nah.
All right, next time.
Next time. You got to invite me back for that one.
We are joined today by Ed Mossman, who is part of a three-generation family business at Blackhead Mountain Lodge and Country Club in Round Top, New York. Also, the lodge's golf... Oops, pardon me, Keith. Also, the lodge's golf course superintendent. How do you mix the two jobs?
It's a family-run operation. You don't sleep. You kind of work 24 hours a day, and you go from one job to the next.
Do you cook and then go out on the links and make sure everything's fine?
Yeah, my day typically starts at 6 o'clock in the morning. I kind of work the golf course all afternoon, I've got a great crew in the kitchen, a great chef in the kitchen that gets things started for me so I don't have to run in there all the time and usually hit there around serving time to help put out these great dishes.
Maybe have a, taste a beer.
And taste a beer here or there. Kind of tasted a few last night. It was good.
Nice. And we're joined by George DePiro of Druthers in Saratoga Springs, who has the first beer that we tried was a Hefeweizen, and I got to say, it is delicious. Let's go back to the phones. You know what? Let's take a break, Zach. We'll have a sip of beer. We'll talk about the next plan, and then we'll get back to the phones at 1-800-348-2551. It's another dream come true. It's a Food Friday. Thank you.
Support for WAMZ comes from Pangea, North Bennington, Vermont. Contemporary American cuisine prepared with local sustainable ingredients, featuring international beer and wines, VermontFineDining.com and Facebook. Stone Barns Center for Food and Agriculture, Westchester, New York. Helping to improve the way America eats and farms, offering spring and summer gardening, foraging, and cooking classes, StoneBarnsCenter.org for schedule. Hudson Valley Fresh Dairy, a partnership of 9 Hudson Valley dairy farms providing fresh, local milk, cream, sour cream, and yogurt to our neighbors, HudsonValleyFresh.com. And HMT at the Spa Little Theater, presenting Boeing Boeing by Mark Camaletti, weekends through May 4th in the Saratoga Spa State Park, HomemadeTheater.org.
German food today on Vox Pop Food Friday. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Ed Mossman is here from Blackhead Mountain Lodge and Country Club in Round Top, New York. And George DePiro of Druthers in Saratoga Springs is bringing the beer. You had a gold medalist, a gold award winner in the 2014 World Beer Cup. And we have that today, yes?
We do. And what's really funny is it's not on tap at Druthers right now.
Why is that?
We're between batches there. So this I poured last week because I knew I was going to be here and I realized we would run out. So I wanted to bring it.
Is it going to be fresh enough for my delicate palate?
It will be.
Okay.
It'll be fine. And it's been cold the whole time. And the new batch will probably be on next week up at Druthers.
Okay. Now, this is a sour ale.
It is.
And what makes the making of this different than a normal ale?
Oh, boy. It's...
In 1,000 words or less.
The big thing is it's got bacteria in it doing fermentation as well as yeast.
Okay.
So aside from the brewer's yeast, which are eating the sugar and making alcohol and carbon dioxide...
Right.
These are making... The bacteria in there are eating the sugar and making lactic acid, just like in yogurt.
Yeah.
So the beer will have a noticeable lactic acid tang to it.
Okay, and we thought we would have an experiment because Ed has brought red cabbage, which is traditionally a sour dish.
Yeah.
And we thought, well, gosh, will the sour ale make things too sour? And we will try that. This is sort of cutting-edge radio here. We're going to experiment. Let's go to the phones,
go
to Yvonne in Pittsfield. Yvonne, you're on.
Hi, this is about red cabbage.
Oh, good.
I remember from my childhood my mom making and my grandma making really sweeter red cabbage.
Okay.
So I'm wondering what cabbage is used and how is it sweetened, and I'm going to listen off the air because I'm in the car, okay?
Okay, that's great. Thanks a lot. So did you
get that
question?
Yeah, I got it. Basically, we use a nice, good, fresh red cabbage, and what sweetens up is we add some sugar to it in the cooking process when we cook it down. A little sugar, and then we cut everything with a little bit of bacon fat. That gives it the extra flavor. That's the old grandma recipe.
That's exactly it. That's old school, and it's not exactly smiled upon all the time by the health nuts.
Well, you know, Germans. But, so we drink beer and we eat good food.
That's right. You know. All right. Let's try the red cabbage here, and then we'll take a sip of the award-winning sour ale from George. You just brought me back 30 years with the cabbage. That is so good. All right, let's try the ale.
That's a delicious ale.
That is a very delicious ale and not too sour at all. Nope. Let's go to Jamie in Ellenville. Jamie, you're on.
All right, Ray, not the reason I'm calling first, but the cabbage thing, like, I recommend everybody make sauerkraut. It's the simplest thing in the world. You just need a couple of tablespoons of salt and cut up the cabbage and throw it in a jar and forget about it. No one's ever gotten sick from anything pickled. And, like, if you're going to eat German food, like, you really need your own sauerkraut. And anybody I've ever told this to loves it so much, they eat it right from the jar. But the main reason I'm calling, Ray, is you're torturing us. We have to be able to come and do what you're doing. You've got to do live locations on these.
You know what?
I want to be at their bar.
That's a great idea. We should do live locations.
And I got to tell you, be somewhere in the Hudson Valley.
I got to tell you, Jamie, this, you know, radio is not digging a ditch. It's not building a skyscraper. But there are tough days. This Food Friday and a day like today is like the best day you can imagine.
I want to be in the garden. Ellensville's got Aroma Time restaurant. In fact, one of the best natural restaurants. They always got the best local beers. They would love to be in the backyard today with you doing a live show. And we all get to enjoy it and actually eat it and let people know that it's as good as you say it is.
Well, Jamie, you'll have to take that up with my producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall, who is also here eating. Hey, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551. And I got to tell you, I tried the sauerbraten. Out of control. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I haven't tried the spetzels yet, but wow, this is something. Jessica, what do you think?
I haven't gotten a chance to eat it yet, but I'm about to start.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, the key to that sauerbraten is making sure she's pickled long enough before you start cooking it.
Mmm. I don't even know what to say. Let's go back to the phones. Don and Red Hook. Don.
Yes.
You're on.
I'm interested in the how to make a good, crispy, German potato pancake.
Oh, boy. And you're asking the right guy. Ed.
Yeah, the key is when you mix that up and you get a little bit of egg in there to bind everything together in a nice hot skillet with a good olive oil. You don't want to skimp on the oil and let that crisp right up that way, but on a nice hot surface.
Can you do that in bacon fat as well?
Yes, you can. Yes, okay. You can.
I mean, that's where I'd be going.
Yep. I mean, bacon, who doesn't love bacon? Everything with bacon tastes good.
It'll get your cholesterol up after
a
while.
So you don't use flour?
Yeah, we use a little bit of just a pinch of flour when I make a batter, just to kind of help bind things together. But our key to the whole thing is an egg, and that really is what gives it the bind, and that's what gives it the crispiness.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, George. I got to tell you, this ale is out of this world. This is, in English, it's the Dare.
Right. That's the name of the beer, the Dare, and it's a German style called Goza, which is from the city of Leipzig in what was formerly East Germany. It's a style that almost became extinct after the 19th century. It's not Reinheitsgebot. It doesn't fit the German purity law because it's got coriander added to it as well.
But the German purity law goes back to the 1500s,
to
right?
1516, yeah. But it didn't mean you couldn't make beer with other things. It just meant you couldn't market it as beer. You had to call it something different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that's what they did. With coriander in it and the sourness from the lactobacillus bacteria, it gives it a really nice citrusy punch that I think makes it a very refreshing beer for a warm summer day.
Did you try it with the red cabbage?
I did, and I didn't think it was overwhelmingly sour.
Not at all.
Together.
Well, there's a good sweetness to the cabbage
as
well.
Yeah, the cabbage does have a really nice sweetness at the end.
We are joined by Ed Mossman of Blackhead Mountain Lodge and Country Club in Round Top, New York, who not only cooks and is part of three generations of great German cooks, he runs the golf course as well. You must get 2 hours sleep a night.
You drink enough beer, you sleep real hard, and then you get up and you start the next day.
Spoken like a fellow German. Let's go to Richard in Williamstown. Richard, you're up.
Hey, Ed, I had a quick question. You mentioned you're a bit of a regional northern German restaurant, and I was curious if you did some of the seasonal specialties, like Grünkohl with some of the traditional German sausage, Pinkeln, or any of those kind of dishes?
Now we kind of stick with our sauerbratens, our schnitzels. We do an excellent German rouladen. That's kind of the ethnic culture food in from our neck of the woods in Germany, which is northern Germany.
My family, my history, it goes back to my first trip to Germany was 79, and I had a dish very popular called Grünkohl, which is basically, a traditional dish, and a lot of people use it. They use it with a lot of the land walks that they do, and it's kind of cultural, kind of comfort food for that region.
Right, it is, yeah. These are kind of more of the dishes that an American actually kind of recognizes when they walk into a restaurant, kind of the direction we stay with.
Yes. Thank you, Richard. We appreciate the call. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop. It's Food Friday. German food and German beer today. There's more food in that big plate, and I think we should talk about it in a moment. What do we have here, Ed Mossman?
That is a traditional Jäger schnitzel.
Okay.
It's basically the northern Germany hunting dish. It's a pork cutlet that is basically served with a mushroom, onion, mustard-type sauce gravy. It is excellent, excellent, excellent.
You were cooking it. You put it right there. You were cooking it before the show in the kitchen upstairs, and it's the whole building smelled amazing. So we can't wait to try.
Your staff was so large, I would have had to bring more food here.
Well, I guess we'll tell you that next time. Tim in Gilderland. Tim, you're up.
Yeah, you may have already covered this, but I was I like sauerkraut. If you have an easy recipe for making sauerkraut at home, I'd be interested. But if you've already covered it, I have a question on cabbage soup. Maybe cabbage soup.
Well, let's do sauerkraut first, and then cabbage soup. Yeah. Easy recipe for sauerkraut, Ed?
I'll tell you, the key with sauerkraut is, I mean, you can buy it in a can today, in a jar today, and the key is just to add a little extra seasoning to it instead of starting right off with the fresh. A lot of that time we get it in a big number 10 can, and the key is a little extra clove in it, a little white wine.
Clove? I didn't.
Put a little white wine in it. She'll change the flavor just a little bit.
Take a canned sauerkraut and spruce it up.
Just spruce it right up, and then put that on a nice bratwurst, and away you go.
Well, there you go. And you had a question about cabbage soup, Tim?
Yeah. Is there an easy way to make cabbage soup? I've had it with cabbage and leeks, and I think potatoes.
That's traditional way of making it. That's kind of pretty much the same direction that I usually head when I cook it.
Yeah. That was great. Well, thank you.
You're
Thanks, Tim. Wow. The Jägerschnitzel is now my favorite dish of all time.
Yeah, that's comfort food right there.
That is comfort food. Now, what's in the gravy?
It's basically we have a little mushroom and onion, a little bit of mustard, and some good stock. And the stock is key to that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's something else. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We are joined on this Food Friday by Ed Mossman, Blackhead Mountain Lodge and Country Club in Round Top, New York. Also by George DePiro of Druthers in Saratoga. And George, the sour ale was fantastic. What else did you bring?
I've got a Pilsner here that's kind of a cross between a German Pilsner and, well, I guess, nothing that fits proper style guidelines. It's a German Pilsner, but made with American hops rather than with German hops. So it's going to have a really citrusy, resiny kind of quality to its aroma.
Let's talk about the hops for a minute. Now, there is a shortage to some extent of some hops. Hops really play a huge role in the character of a beer, yes?
Not in all beers. The first two we had, the Hefeweizen and the Goza, have hops that are just barely at flavor threshold. So, I mean, honestly, I could leave the hops out of those two beers, and you probably wouldn't notice the difference.
So an English beer might just be all malt?
Oh, no. English beers will have hops in them. Yeah. Most English beers will have a significant amount of hops in them that you'll taste the bitterness. It's the least hoppy styles in the world are probably these two German ones.
Really?
The Goza, and maybe Belgian spontaneously fermented beers, Lambics. Those have very little hop character also. But Pilsners, especially German Pilsners, have significant hop bitterness in the finish and usually a noticeable hop aroma. So hops are important to a Pilsner. And if you change the variety, it will change the character of the beer significantly. So this will have a light malt flavor with a dry finish, but with a bright citrusy and sort of tropical fruit character.
American hops.
Yeah.
So, but technically this would adhere to the German purity law?
Yes.
It doesn't matter what hops you use.
No, as long as it's just hops.
Okay.
Right.
1-800-348-2551. While George pours, I'll take a call. Kathy in Schoharie. Kathy, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to let you know, I remember as a child my opa making potato pancakes and his brother arguing with him on how to make them. And what their argument was about was, do you put the oil in the pan or does it go in the batter?
Hmm.
And we made it with the oil in the pan. It made them crispier, and we liked them better, but my uncle always wanted to put the oil in the batter.
Ed's shaking his head.
Put that oil in the pan. Get that oil good and hot.
That's what I thought. And do you make tomatoes? Do you make potato dumplings?
I have in our restaurant. We've done that on occasion on a special. They're a little more difficult to make and serve big time in a restaurant. Yeah. And our biggest thing is Spätzle. 90% of our people come for our Spätzle.
Oh, that's so good.
My absolute favorite, yeah. Well, thank you. This is a great show today. Thank you.
Kathy, thanks a lot. We appreciate the call. Let's go to Danny in Bennington. Danny, you're up.
Yeah, hi. I'm enjoying the show very much. I heard you mention sauerbraten on the program a minute or two ago, and I don't understand why more places don't serve it, because it's a very tasty dish, and it's relatively inexpensive, the meat. I mean, it does take a little time and preparation, but, I mean, the chef there, you probably know a whole lot more about it than me, but it seems very few places ever really serve it anymore, even though it's very good.
Yeah, well, sauerbraten, it's a lot of work. Like I say, we start ours in a pickle barrel. It sits for 5 to 6 days, 7 days before we take it out. And then it's a slow cooking process.
How slow?
It'll take sometimes 5-6 hours to cook a good sauerbraten. It just needs to really simmer. That's what gives it the tenderness. And that's, out of all those juices, then that's where we make our sauce from. So it's a major commitment when you put sauerbraten on a menu.
So maybe that's why it takes so long that it's just not a practical thing for most restaurants.
Yes, because most restaurants, they want to push things out, and we believe in comfort food. So
it's very comfortable.
Well,
I'll tell you that.
I'm looking forward to trying the sauerbraten one day.
Very, very good.
Danny, thanks a lot. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
You guys have a website?
Yes, we do. Blackhead Mountain Lodge .com or MTN.com.
BlackheadMTN.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. And George, Druthers has a website as well, yeah?
DruthersBrewing.com.
And what do we find there?
You'll find our food menu, our beer menu, a little bit about how we got started, you know, all the usual junk.
This beer is good. This Pilsner is excellent.
Thank you.
It does have you can taste the citrus. And that's just from the hops? There's no lemon thrown in or anything else?
No, it's just from the hops. There are hops called Amarillo and Citra in that beer. The Amarillo is what's responsible for the citrusy notes, ironically, since the other one's called Citra. But Citra has really got more of a, it imparts more of a mango and tropical fruit sort of aroma to a beer. The two of them together work really nicely. It's a great synergy using those two hops.
How would this contrast with a true German Pilsner?
It's that citrusy hop character, and that fruity hop character wouldn't be in the German Pilsner. The Germans would use only old, they're called noble hops. Mm-hmm. They're the old hops that were grown in Europe for centuries. Hallertauer, Zatz, Tettnang, those hops are commonly used. By American standards, they smell rather weak.
Yeah.
So you don't find them in American beers that much. Here in America, we like everything big, big, big.
Yeah.
You know, so
big hoppy IPAs.
Right. Everything, you know,
big and bold.
Yeah. So if you try to use those old hops, even some English hops like East Kent Goldings, they're too subtle for the American palate. And so, you know, why fight it? I like big too.
Do you try to make occasionally using noble hops, traditional German styles?
Oh yeah, sure. When I do a my blonde ale up at Druthers is often a Kolsch, which is a German-style ale from the city of Cologne. And that uses American hops because they're in better shape than European hops.
What do you mean?
They don't travel well. They need to be processed very carefully. They need to be, they're not just harvested and brought to market. They have to be compressed into pellets so that they stay fresh longer. And they need to be kept cold. As long as you've got them, they should be near freezing or below freezing. If you're shipping them across the Atlantic, they can hit temperatures as high as 150 degrees in the cargo hold of a ship. And so they never smell as good when you get them from Europe as you get them here. So I'll buy German-esque varieties that have been grown in the United States.
Right.
And get a very similar character.
Yeah,
can you
find a section of this country that has a similar climate?
Oh, yeah, and if you get Hallertauer grown in the Pacific Northwest, it's not going to be radically different from the Hallertauer grown in Germany. It will be different, but not ridiculously so. And there's some modern varieties like Crystal, which are half-sister to Hallertauer, the way the breeding worked out, that tastes sort of like Holler Tower, but with a little bit more oomph to them. And yeah. I favor that, and it works really well.
Well, you must be doing something right if you have won a gold award at the World Beer Cup in the German style.
Yeah.
So I think you know what you're doing. Zach, let's take a break. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Ed Mossman is here. Also, George DePiro, yours truly, Ray Graff, and a whole plate full of German food back in a flash.
Support for WMT comes from Cafe Capriccio. Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Marbletown True Value Hardware, Stone Ridge, a locally owned independent source offering Loge cast ironware, cookware, and specialty kitchen items. MarbletownHardware.com. True Value, start right, start here. Terrapin Restaurant and Bistro, Rhinebeck, New York, serving an all-organic children's menu and featuring Chef Kroner's monthly Taste and Talk program for kids ages 8 through 12, TerrapinRestaurant.com. And the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences of all ages for the Capital District and beyond, 518-580-8080.
One 800 348 2551 is the number. It's a Food Friday, German food, German beer today. Ed Mossman and George DePiro are here. I'm Ray Graff. And Ed, you help with the food, and you also run the golf course at Blackhead Mountain Lodge and Country Club. And so how does German food go well with golf? Explain.
Well, our golf course is located in a unique part of New York State. We sit right in the foot of the Catskill Mountain Range, right on the bottom of Blackhead Mountain. It's a big state park, so it looks kind of like the German Schwarzwald.
Yeah.
And that kind of just kind of fits in. Old-type barn clubhouse. That's a unique 19th hole. A lot of German beer served there, just kind of like we're doing here, drinking away.
I don't know if I could play 18 holes after some sauerbraten and, you know, maybe.
Yeah, the key is to play first and then enjoy a little cocktail, a little beer, nice German beer in the clubhouse, and then down to the restaurant for dinner.
Nice, nice. And the website, once again, is blackheadmtn.com. All right, let's go back to the phones. And Scott in Ulster Park. Scott, you're up.
How you doing? I've been trying to make sauerbraten, and I can't seem to find a recipe that tastes the same as I used to be able to get it in Kingston from Schneller's. Is there some trick to the marinade?
The key is to the pickling process.
All right, how do you do it without giving away trade secrets?
Well, it's in a good sour brine with lots of different seasonings that we put in it, and the key is to let it sit there for a number of days in a cooler and let it really absorb into the meat. We also inject it to get it that same brine deep inside into the meat.
Oh, you do inject it?
Yeah,
okay.
We do.
Is that cheating?
That's not cheating. That's just doing it the right way.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Scott. We appreciate the call.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Is injecting something that the home cook can do?
Actually, you can get away without it, but just cutting your piece a little smaller so that it gets into the brine and just letting it sit there for a little bit longer, and it'll work its way in.
Yeah, if you leave it long enough,
It'll work its way in there.
You know, we had a chef on prior to Thanksgiving. I think it was just a regular Vox Pop who talked about brining turkeys, and we had never tried that. And it's really an amazing process.
Yeah, it does work great.
All right, let's go to Duncan in Freehold. Duncan.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm a neighbor of yours, Ed. Played your course, but never really went to the restaurant.
Hey, we kind of get that a lot. For some reason, people don't head to golf course restaurants too often. But we pride ourselves on a great restaurant, great German atmosphere, great international cuisine besides my German specialties.
Well, I'd like to suggest something, and I'll definitely go to your restaurant. Have you ever made a Red Reuben?
No, we haven't.
What's a red Reuben?
It's basically a Reuben on oversized pumpernickel or really dark rye. Instead of sauerkraut, you use the red cabbage.
Brilliant.
And it's, there's a place in Syracuse called Danzer's that it, they have all the same menu you have, and it's great. I went to school out there and worked out there and couldn't stay away from the place. But the red Reuben, I make it at home, but it's not the same thing, you know. It's unbelievable. You put it on your menu, I guarantee it'll sell out every day.
I may just have to put that on my snack bar menu at the clubhouse. That
all
sounds
right.
Good.
Yeah. We'll write that down. Thank you.
Do it open face.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to do that with that pumpernickel.
That's
the key.
It's unbelievable. Have a good day, young man.
Duncan, thanks a lot. And that's great advice. The red Reuben. We'll go to Mike in Adams. Mike, you're on.
Yeah, hi. My comment is about spätzle. I don't know what you do with leftover spätzle, but when I make it at home,
yeah,
I don't have any leftover, I throw an egg on top of it, and I have it for breakfast as an omelet.
That sounds good.
You ever do that, Ed?
No, actually, what I do is I throw it in a frying pan with a little olive oil and crisp it right up and have it that way.
I like it.
I mean, spätzle is so simple to make. It's only three ingredients. I believe you probably gave the recipe. I just turned the show on just now, but...
No, I didn't. We didn't talk about the recipe of the spätzle. We put a little bit more than three ingredients in it.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Do you want to tell them, or is this all proprietary? And you're not very forthcoming with ingredients.
We do a lot of senior buses, and I do a they come and do a luncheon by us. I'll do a cooking demonstration and teach them how to make our spätzle.
Okay.
It's a great ingredient. A little bit of flour, a couple eggs, a little salt, a little pepper, onion powder, parsley, and cooked right up in a little
How
bit of olive
How can you lose? Mike, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Estelle in Clifton Park. Estelle.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wondered what the best cut of meat for making sauerbraten would be.
Great question.
That is a great question. We use a bottom round. That's the piece of meat that we like the best. It has the nicest grain, the nicest texture.
I see.
It's going to get tender anyway.
Yeah, the brine is going to tender it right up.
Right, right. Okay, would you have a second choice if?
I'd pretty much stick with the bottom round. But you could probably use probably a good top round, small little top round.
Okay, I thank you very much.
Thank you very much. 1-800-348-2551 is the number to call. 1-800-348-2551. Ed Mossman is here. He is one of the bigwigs at Blackhead Mountain Lodge and Country Club in Round Top, New York. Also, George DePiro, a bigwig at Druthers in Saratoga Springs, New York. He is a brewer by trade, and we have had some great beers here today. We had your Sour Ale, which was award-winning. We had your Hefeweizen, which was delicious. And we had your Pilsner, which is, although American style, kind of a German brew.
Right, yeah.
And you know, they all tasted so good with the food.
It's German food, especially traditional German food like this. I mean, it's a beer country, so their food tends to pair really well with beer. You know, they evolved together.
Yeah.
So it's not like if you go to Italy and you're trying to force beer into your vacation while you're there.
Which it sounds like you may have done.
Oh yeah, a couple of times in my life. It's you can get good beer in Italy. And you can certainly get great food in Italy.
And you can get great wine in Germany.
You can, and of course there's great wine in Italy too. But the Italian food really tends to go with wine better than it goes with beer. It's just so much easier to get a pleasant pairing in your mouth.
Yeah, I'll agree with that 100%.
It's effortless, whereas in Germany, I mean, you know, some of the German white wines would go perfectly well with these dishes also.
Yeah.
But... you know, why do that when there's so much great beer, too?
Agreed. Is there a dish that would go well? I love dark beer.
Mm-hmm.
I love dark German beer. Is there any dish that would go well with that?
Oh, sure. I won a silver award at the World Beer Cup for my Munich Dark Lager a few years back. And it's not super sweet, but it's very malty. Not a lot of hop bitterness at all. And that beer would probably go really well with the Sauerbraten. I dare say it would go really well with the potato pancakes.
Even potato pancakes?
Oh,
that's
sure.
Surprising.
Yeah, it's Yeah, because the maltiness would just be good with all that. But I think the sauerbraten really, because the slight sourness you get, but with that little sweetness behind it,
yeah.
the malt would really pick up on that, and that would work well.
Ed, you said you tapped a new keg at the country club yesterday. What's the best style, or what's the most popular style of beer served with all this great German food at your country club?
We go through a lot of Pilsner. Matter of fact, what we just tapped in the clubhouse yesterday was a barrel of Hofbräu.
Mm.
Goes excellent with this. Another great beer that we serve quite a bit is Dinkelacker. Another great beer to
That's a lager, right?
That's a little bit on the lager side. That complements this food really, really well.
Mm. I'm looking forward to the Maibock. Now, do you brew those?
Yeah,
George?
I've got a Maibock that'll be coming on this weekend, probably, up at Druthers. And, you know, what we've just all the beers we've just been talking about are lagers.
Yeah.
The Munich Dunkel, the Maibock, the Pilsners you just listed. Those are all lager beers.
Yeah.
The difference between ale and lager is the yeast strain that's used to ferment them.
Mm-hmm.
Ale yeast are the older variety. They were used for many centuries. They ferment at warm temperatures and can sometimes put fruity flavors into a beer and sometimes spicy flavors.
Mm-hmm.
The Hefeweizen is an extreme example of an ale yeast that's characterful, where it makes the same chemicals that are found in bananas and cloves.
Right.
And so all ale yeasts can do that to a degree, but much less usually. Lager yeasts, unless the brewer is really doing a bad job, don't do that ever. And so the lagers should taste cleaner and let the malt and the hops play center stage in the beer's profile. So, things like Varsteiner.
Is that a tougher brew for you to make?
No. I mean, it's some people think it is because there's nowhere for your mistakes to hide, but I can taste mistakes in ales just as much as I can taste them in lagers. I don't think there's really anything that's much easier or harder to brew on the fermentation end of things. Wheat beers tend to be a little bit of a pain in the Lauterton because wheat, for the same reasons it's great for baking dough, it's
yeah.
really bad for making beer. The gluten in it really gums things up and water doesn't flow through it. So it can make a long brew day. But I love wheat beers so much that I make them anyway, even though it can be a pain.
Let's go to Paul in North Adams. Paul, you're on.
Yes, my question is concerning Pilsner. I keep hearing you mention German Pilsner, and you just mentioned versus American Pilsners. I understand that I'm Czech. Pilsners were developed by Czechoslovakians. So I was wondering, what's the difference between a German Pilsner and a Czech Pilsner?
All right.
Thank you.
The original Pilsner was made in the Czech Republic, and it's called Pilsner Urquell.
Yes.
But there are different styles of Pilsner now all around the world. German Pilsners differ from Czech Pilsners in that they tend to be slightly lighter in color. They tend to be much drier and more bitter. And the Czech Pilsners, a little more gold than yellow, a little sweeter and maltier, and a little fuller bodied. American Pilsners, if you just say American Pilsner and end it at that, means something like Budweiser,
sure.
which is really international light lager, is the style category if you were going to enter it into a contest.
Okay.
My Pilsner, I have a hard time saying, because even though it's not that inventive, it's not not that creative a beer to take a German Pilsner but use American hops, but there's no contest style that fits that. So I would like that to be called American Pilsner, because that would be pretty good, because
yeah.
that's what it is.
Right. It's not your standard.
Right. But it's not your standard American Pilsner like Bud or Coors, which are really very light tasting. You can't really taste the hops in those at all.
And they use, do they use rice?
Yeah, rice and or corn, depending on how much they think they can get away with, depending on the cost of the ingredient. You know, when you're brewing at that scale, cost is a concern.
Yeah.
So they've worked with their taste panels to know how much they can sub out the rice for corn or vice versa.
And how does that change the flavor profile?
Well, they do it so that you can't tell the difference. That's the point of their flavor panels. They'll change it on pilot batches, present it to their flavor panels, their taste panels, and when their taste panels can tell the difference, they know they've gone too far and they can't release that to the public.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so they don't want you to know the difference. But by using rice and corn, you are diluting the flavor of malt. So you will have, whereas my Pilsner here tasted not super malty, but it has a nice malt backbone. A beer brewed with adjuncts like rice or corn will never have that because they've diluted the malt flavor.
Mm. We're joined here by George DePiro of Druthers Brewery in Saratoga Springs. It's a brew pub?
Yes, it is a brew pub.
and also Ed Mossman of Blackhead Mountain Lodge and Country Club in Round Top, New York, who brought some amazing German food today. We had Sauerbraten, we had Spätzle, we had Jaeger Schnitzel, and you didn't bring dessert. However, what's the big dessert that you would serve?
We talked about that early. We make a great apple strudel with fresh apples. It's out of this world.
Okay, and what's the best way to go about doing that?
The key is using a good dough. Make yourself a nice good puff pastry dough.
Mm-hmm.
Also cooked in a nice hot oven.
Yeah.
And really seasoning the apple filling, which we do with a little extra cinnamon in it, which just kind of sweetens it up and makes it really taste sweet.
No chocolate? No, chocolate not big?
Nah, chocolate's not the big thing in the, our part of the German.
Well, you know, we must get some chocolate into your, lineup.
Yeah, for that we'll have some good cakes.
And maybe we'll get George over there, bring a couple of barrels of his stuff.
I think it's a good idea.
And we'll have a tasting, and maybe we'll take the advice of Jamie, who called earlier and said we should do a live remote. And, you know, not a bad idea.
I think sounds good to me. Because these beers taste good with this food here.
Boy, they sure do. And the sour ale is really a revelation. Quite something. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Only a couple of minutes left here with Ed Mossman and George DePiro if you want to get in. You can find out more at our website, wamc.org/voxpop, or Food Friday. Either one will get you to the right place. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to the phones. Who's on the line?
Yeah, hi, Danny again. I called about the Sauerbraten.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just listening to the desserts now. German chocolate cake. Here again, a lot of people don't make the thing properly. Why is that? Why can't you get a decent German chocolate cake anywhere?
Okay. Well?
Well, that's a good question. the cakes that we have in our restaurant, I think, are absolutely out of this world.
Yeah.
You
don't really have an answer for that. And yeah. Danny, I'm afraid we don't know. But thank you for calling. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. So chocolate not big in the area of Germany that your family hails from?
No. We're the meat potato family.
And boy, you have done that very well. Let's go over to David in Albany. David, only about a minute.
Hello.
Here. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I went to Germany this summer, and I had, when the family I was staying at, I would drink maybe 5 or 6 beers a night, and I wake up in the morning, and I felt perfect. If I do the same thing here, I often will have a hangover. And I was drinking these 5, you know, the liter bottles, and I usually drank Hefeweizen. Is there a difference in preservatives?
Well, that's a good beer question, George.
There's no preservatives in beer. It doesn't need it. Nothing that grows in beer can hurt you. As beer gets old, it tastes stale. And most people, sadly, are used to drinking the stale beer, so they don't even really know the difference yet. But if you go to brew pubs a lot or if you're a home brewer, you'll taste the difference. I was going to agree with you about the hangover thing until you said that you drank Hefeweizen mostly. Because Hefeweizen I find to be a pretty vicious hangover inducer. If I were to drink 5 liters of Hefeweizen a day, I'd be in pretty bad shape.
Why would it induce a hangover more than a similar amount of alcohol?
Because the yeast that make Hefeweizen, aside from making those cool banana and clove flavors, they make a lot of alcohols that are higher in molecular weight than ethanol.
Mm-hmm.
And those higher molecular weight alcohols tend to do nasty things to your head the next day. So
explains it.
Yeah, they're not as much fun. Belgian beers will do the same thing to you for much the same reason.
Well, this was a fun afternoon. Thanks to everybody who called in. Thanks to Ed Mossman of Blackhead Mountain Lodge and Country Club in Round Top, New York. Thanks to George DePiro of Druthers in Saratoga Springs. Thank you for listening. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to Zach Malloy at the controls, Colleen O'Connell, who answered the calls, our producer and food taster, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Thanks so much for being with us. Monday at this time, Alan Chartok will be here with a Medical Monday. Have a splendid weekend.